Today in Canadian History, July 9th. I'm Joe Barima. Here's how racer Mark Sutherland describes chuckwagon racing. Picture yourself in a ready-made coffin tied by tooth floss to the tails of four charging dinosaurs. That's wagon racing. Back on July 9th, 1923, Calgary Stampede founder Guy Wiedick held the first Stampede chuckwagon race. The race went on to be replicated across the prairies and even in the U.S. Aretha Van Herk is a writer, historian, monkey, cultural critic, and a professor of creative writing and Canadian literature here in Calgary.
There are different arguments about where chuckwagon racing started. Some say that there were always cook wagons that followed roundups. Chuck wagon is a cook wagon. And that's one reason why I'm interested in it, because I love domestic images that sneak into the male world. It's really, here are all these macho men driving what is essentially a kitchen, right? I think it's so funny. But they say that it began when, at several big roundups, the chuck wagon drivers had an impromptu competition to see who could get to the next camp. Another story says it was an impromptu competition to see who could get to the bar first. And so the race was on, so to speak. Guy Wiedick wanted the first Stampede to engage with as many daredevil sports as possible. So he asked four of the different crews from the surrounding ranches if they would participate in a chuck wagon race. Now, all of the ranches had chuck wagons for their roundups, and they had crews that ran those chuck wagons. A chuck wagon, of course, was the food wagon from which all the cowboys were fed. But the idea of racing them around a figure eight and then around the track, full of clanking frying pans and flour and stoves bouncing around, was so exciting to Wiedick that he persuaded these four crews to do it. The prizes for that first race weren't very much. I think the winner won a cowboy hat. I mean, it wasn't much at all. But Wiedick's idea to use not just cowboys on horses, but every element of ranching life was so much a part of this that it was irresistible to him. And of course, it was irresistible to the audience because it was so compelling. Well, the rules were quite loose at that point. They were required to cut a figure eight around the barrels, which they still do, and that's the most difficult part of the race, of course. Then they went out through the backstretch onto the track, and they ran around the track back to the campground. Then they unhooked the team from the wagon, which took quite a while. They stretched the fly, and they had to start a camp stove. Now, the first smoke was what determined the winner. Now, as you can imagine, that took a little more time than it takes now, even though they only ran around what was half the track that they're running now. Now it's, of course, a kilometer, which is 5/8 of a mile. That's why all the songs about the half a mile of hell are not quite right, because it's a little more than that. But making the smoke led to some fascinating performances, because one of the drivers would use dynamite to light the fire and all the horses would scatter. One of them would try to use something else, or would try to light it with a pine torch or something. So it was, at the time, I mean, this was, people were watching not just the race itself, but they were also watching the key, which was unloading the stove, lighting the stove, and showing that this is what it was for. Guy Wiedick was that wonderful combination of a con man, an entrepreneur, a brilliant ideas man. He had been a kind of circus trick rider. His wife was a trick rider, a trick roper. And he really knew that the West had a mythology that had legs. He believed in it. He knew that it was one of those hyperbolic moments that could be carried out in a carnivalesque way for the rest of, I mean, look at us now, it's 2010, and we're still celebrating, even though none of us are ranching, and the West itself is a long-gone history. So he was determined that this stampede, this rangeland derby, this crazy carnival was going to catch fire, and it did. And he was sort of its organizer for a number of years. Now, he had many difficulties. One was that he was quite a heavy drinker, and there were times when he would get a little inebriated and he would insult everybody. And then there were other times when he would manage to make everything work. I think the stampede fired him a few times, and he said to them, "You can't fire me. You don't have a stampede without me." And he came back every time, and sure enough, he lived to quite a ripe old age and died here in Calgary. But just the imagination that it took to think this is work. And ranching at that time, of course, was very serious work. But look at what a fabulous celebration it will make. I think just makes him a superb figure.
Today is a day full of Canadian history. Back in 1960, a 7-year-old boy named Roger Woodward accidentally fell over the Horseshoe Falls in Ontario and survived the 162-foot drop, thanks to his life jacket. His first words after being rescued? Gosh. The Prince Albert, Canada's first iron steamship, leaves Montreal, Quebec on its maiden voyage back in 1843. Those involved in the Northwest Rebellion of 1885 and who had not been convicted of murder were granted amnesty by the Crown on this day back in 1886.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW at 90.9 FM in Calgary. The executive producers are Joe Barima and Mark Affeld. Original music is provided by the Fisk, Fletcher, and May Trio. This series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series, or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cgsw.com/todayincanadianhistory.
Joke. How many Calgarians does it take to screw in a light bulb? Answer. 100. One to screw in the light bulb, 99 to talk about how great the 88 Winter Olympic Games were.